Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is tape number 105. So if you're interested in ordering it, it's free of charge. It's tape 105. We're going to be doing that, continuing on with part 4 of how to have God's life living in you. The life of God in people, people that have God's life living in them are different than other people. They reprove people, they rebuke them, they preach the gospel to them. They are angered at Satan. All the different prophets and apostles stated that they hated Satan, and they hated him with a perfect hatred, and they hate the enemies of God with a perfect hatred. And those that think it's strange that they are the way that they are. People that are of the Lord are a different breed than what you see today. They have God's life living in them. And you can have God's life living in you as well, to where you'll have a sense or a sensibleness about you that no other people on earth have, with the exception of people that really are matured in the life of God. We have several letters, but right now let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask the Lord to anoint outwardly this service. What I mean by anointing outwardly, we that are born again of the Spirit, those that are of the Lord, that have God's life living in us, we have the inward anointing, which means that He's in us. But when we minister, we pray that God's anointing will come upon us, so that every word that is said in the tape or wherever we're talking to anybody about the Lord, that He will anoint every word, and that it will not be of the letter, but that it will be of the Spirit. And many times during messages, the Lord will reprove the people of the world and rebuke them and tell them things that you just think are so arrogant. But God is not arrogant. He's the truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And if He were arrogant, there isn't anything you could do about it anyway, because He is the ruler of the universe, and no one is able to tell Him, "What doest thou?" And so we have to shape up to the Lord. He's not going to shape up to us. And if people don't like that, well, you're not going to be in heaven. You'll spend eternity in the lake of fire and in hell. But right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord so that you can learn of God, so that you can eventually, or possibly immediately, have the Lord's life living in you. Now, Father God, we thank and praise Your holy name. I ask that You anoint outwardly this service. Let every word that I say come directly to me and through me to the people in Radio Land or wherever they are. We ask, Lord, that You lift, that You strengthen the church, the body of Christ, the people already that have Your life living in them. And we pray, Lord, that You'll open every ear to hear the words of life, the words directly from You. And we pray that You'll open their spiritual eyes so that they can see You. Because no man can see You unless they die. This means die out to their old carnal nature and become spiritual beings. They have this life of God living in them. Then we can see You. You are the Word of God. The Word of God is God. And we really can't understand the Word of God. We can't understand You, Father, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, until we receive Your life, the life of God in us. Lord, we ask that You save these souls and strengthen the church in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
Okay, now how many letters do you have today?
Three.
Okay, that's all we ever. We have thousands of them, amen. But we'll just do three today because otherwise we'd just be reading letters all day long on the tape. So where does the first one come from?
From Ishpeming, Michigan.
Okay.
My name is Gail. I ordered some literature and have been reading it through. I want to order several boxes of each newsletter, 1,000 of 10 different newsletters and other literature. I own an ice cream truck and attend many festivals throughout the summer months, and I need lots of literature to pass out. The name of my company is Sweetest Blessings. I thank you in advance for sending me material to pass out so that I may truly bring sweetest blessings to the lost. Your friend, Gail, from Ishpeming, Michigan.
Praise the Lord. Yeah, that is a very sweet thought. Amen?
Amen.
Because there isn't anything sweeter that could happen to you. You know, David said, let somebody rebuke me, reprove me, let them smite me if they will, if to teach me the ways of the Lord, because it'll be what to me?
A kindness.
A kindness. You know, whatever it takes to get you into the kingdom of heaven, it's a kind thing. And sometimes you think that people that are of the Lord are a little bit rough and tough. Sometimes, you know, the Lord is a rough and tough individual. He isn't the sweet Jesus that people, so these false prophets talk about. He's the same Jesus that when people were abusing the synagogue, he fashioned a whip. It takes time to fashion a whip. And then he went in and started whipping them and turning the money changers' tables over. And he said, you know, my Father's house is a house of prayer, not merchandise. Now get out of here. And this is the real Lord. And the Lord is the same one that is sending. Now, you hear all kinds of people debating whether it's God or if it's just an act of nature that is causing these tsunamis and earthquakes and everything. Read the Bible. The Bible says God said, I'm going to send all these plagues on the earth because of their rejection of having the life of God in them. What is the life of God? Who is the life of God? Jesus is the life of God. He said, I am the life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can have God living in them. No man can come unto God to have life living in them except through me. Amen?
Amen.
And so whether you like it that he whipped people, it's better to get whipped than to spend eternity in the lake of fire, isn't it?
Amen.
And in to be destroyed continuously over a year? No. Or 10 or 20 or 1,000 years? No, it's not that. It's forever. That's a horrible thing. So if it takes, you know, a smite from the Lord, maybe you've got a disease. Maybe because the Lord states that he's going to pump all kinds of different diseases into this world. Pestilence is what he calls it in the 24th chapter of Revelation. And then in Deuteronomy, he tells of all the different curses that will happen to people that reject God. The Bible, even God even says that people that forget God, he says, I'll tear them to pieces. And so if you're wondering why some of your friends are being torn to pieces, it's because the flesh profiteth nothing. But the Lord is doing this to try to save your soul, to try to wake you up to get a hold of him so that you'll cry out to God and say, oh God, let your life, your eternal, everlasting life live in me. I know I'm going to die now that I've got cancer or all these things, but you could save my soul and let your life live in me, and you could heal me if I really begin being sincere with you. But people say, well, how would God do a thing like that or kill somebody? Well, read the Bible. Some people were mocking and scoffing and saying they wanted to leave God and go back to a sinful life. And what he did is opened the earth and let a whole multitude of them be swallowed up and cast into hell while they were still alive. God is not like we human beings. God is God. You're a piece of dirt with this, a temporal life of spirit living in you. And you better learn God, because if you could be blessed, you know, you could be blessed if you want to. But if you choose to say, I hate God, well, what are you going to do? Put your dukes up and say, come on, God, let's get it on. Let's go to Front Street. That isn't going to help you any, because you're not going to win with God. The only way you win with God is to do what he says. Now, you know, monkeys do that, you know, say, come on, you know, let's go and fight. And they wind up with a dead monkey's body laying, you know, off of a limb someplace or on the ground. The Lord is God. And God holds the entire universe together with his word, and therefore his word is powerful. His word is the truth, the only truth, and his word has life in it. The Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible stated that the words that are in the Bible, the words that he speaks, are spirit, God's spirit. It's God's spirit. Not just a spirit, but it's God's spirit, and it's his, God's life. So the only way that you can get God's spirit and life in you is to read his spirit. You hear people say, read my lips. That isn't going to do you good, because most people don't have much to say. They say a lot of things, but they're meaningless. But read God's word, his spirit. And that way you'll have his spirit and life in you, if you receive it as God's word, God's spirit. Okay? All right, now where's the next letter from?
The next letter is from Nigeria, Africa. Dear Pastor Tony Olamo, greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I am delighted to send you this message from our Heal and Feed Ministries in Abuja, Nigeria. We pray that God will continue to lead you from strength to strength and from glory to glory, so that you will continue to touch as many lives as possible in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Pastor, I hope to receive a prayer anointing from you and to put one of my sisters who was recently struck by a strange illness of partial paralysis so that God will heal her permanently in Jesus' name. Pastor, just to let you know that your literature is going places here. I have used the various pieces of literature to enlighten very many Africans who do not know much about the wickedness of the Roman Catholic doctrine. I thank you so much for sending me the literature that exposes their wickedness. I want to reach more and more of those who have been enslaved in that doctrine by sending them more complete Bibles. I have very many converts from the Catholic Church after they read your literature, but they keep on requesting for more Bibles from me. Pastor, please kindly send us more of the complete Bible and also more of the Messiah. The story of Jesus Christ has lifted more people on high, because they have their glory for Mary and not for Christ. But after they read the Messiah, most of them have had a rethink of their belief on who the glory should go to, Mary or Jesus Christ.
Yeah, Mary never died on the cross and shed her blood for you. And even if she did, her blood, she was a sinner. She was born. She was not conceived by the Holy Spirit. And Mary is not deity. She was an incubator, actually. Oh, a lot of people are offended with that. Doesn't make any difference. If the word of God offends you, you're in trouble. But all she did was, she was inseminated with the Holy Spirit, and Jesus is deity. He was a man, but he also was deity. He was born and begotten by God. And so Mary wasn't. Mary is just a little Jewish girl. She was a good girl, just like a lot of little Jewish girls are. But they all need to be born again of the Spirit. If God's life, in other words, that means they have to have God's life living in them. And if that happens, well, then they'll be saved. They'll have God's life in them, just like Jesus had in him. But that doesn't make them Jesus. It makes them a member of Jesus' body, the corporate body of Christ. There are millions of them in there, in his body. And so Mary is no different than you and I. If you're keeping the commandments of the Lord and doing his will, she later got saved. She later had the Lord's Spirit living in her. One might say, well, she had the Lord's Spirit living in her and growing in her when Jesus was conceived. And that's true, because she received Jesus in her, and that made her born again. Amen?
Amen.
She received Jesus. She received Jesus from God. And we must receive Jesus from God. When we do, we're no different than her. We're all part of the body of Christ. But so that's wonderful. Yeah, we've won hundreds of millions of Catholics to the Lord, which shows that we love their souls. And I don't hate Catholics. We just hate the false doctrine of that cult. The Bible says that it's the Antichrist, the head of the Antichrist. and that the government, the world government, is the enforcement agency for that cult, and that the news media is the mouth of Satan, of the Antichrist. You'll always see them exalting the popes. You'll see them tearing down born of the Spirit churches and pastors. You'll see that all the time, and you'll see them making up stories about pastors that are really preaching the gospel, that are really born of the Spirit, that really have God's life living in them. Because this world, the Antichrist, hates Christ. That's why he's called, the whole Antichrist system is called Antichrist. That means he's against Christ. Antichrist is against Christ. It's an anti-God system, world system. It's anti-God. That's why they want to take Christ out of Christmas. They want to take the Bible out of schools. They want to take the name God out of the courtrooms. They hate God. And anyone that goes along with this anti-Christ, anti-Christian, anti-God, anti-Bible regime today, you're taking the mark of the beast, which is the same thing as blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And there's no forgiveness for that in heaven or on earth. And so, you know, you take that. This is from the Lord. This is directly from the Lord. The Lord is telling me what to tell you right at this very moment. Okay, now let's hear the rest of the letter.
I thank my God for having known you through your literature and through your tapes, which have really helped me in ministering unto the disciples of Jesus Christ. More blessings to your ministries and long life to you and your followers. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Signed, Gladys from Abuja, Nigeria, Africa.
Praise the Lord. Do you ever hear me asking for money? I own a Beatles album because that's what I am, is the top marketing expert. Probably the best one in the world. And I have done promotions for the Beatles, Best of the Beatles, Elvis Presley, Sonny and Cher, so many, Rovan, Bobby Jameson, and other household products. I've been asked to do the marketing for the entire Democratic Party. And if you think that they don't need marketing, the Republicans and the Democrats, well, you're not very well informed. I deny a lot of people to put my brain power behind a lot of things before I was saved. But when Peter Best came to me, who is the original drummer of the Beatles, and stated that he had drummed on between 13 and 20 of the Beatles' first top hit records, he didn't have any money to give me for the promotion. He did give for the marketing of him. But he did give me a Beatles album that his mother had recorded in Hamburg, Germany. And so I took it. And I still have it. And I will not sell it, even though I've been offered $50 to $100 million for the album. And that I just want to show people that I'm not a money-hungry person. I'm not interested in money, and I'm not in the ministry for money. The only way that I have an interest in money is to take and send Bibles to these people, to send literature to them, and to send human aid when they're in trouble. Like when they have these tsunamis, I show Christ in me and this church by sending them funds. I know a lot of churches send funds to people, but they just really don't really preach the gospel to them that much. And when they preach the gospel to them, it's a different gospel than what is in the Bible. And I thank God for people like this woman that has this ice cream truck, and the many others, people like this person here, and they're literally thousands upon thousands, maybe millions of people. And it seems like Africa is really turned on to the Lord, and India, the Philippines, and 200 different countries, but Africa the most. So don't be telling people, well, what about the Africans in the deepest part of Africa? What about them? What if they don't know the gospel? Are they going to hell? They know the gospel way better than you people in the United States and other countries. Just you listen to these letters here. I've met hundreds of Africans, and they have many cities about the size of New York City, Dallas, Fort Worth, Houston, Cleveland, and places like that. And they have modern big buildings. It's not the jungles like you people think. There was a bunch of them that came to me one day, and I says, what are the jungles like in Africa? They said, what jungles? We don't have jungles. You must be talking about South America or someplace. And I said, well, I always hear people saying, what about you Africans, the Africans that live in the deepest, darkest jungles of Africa? He said, we don't have any things like that. And I says, well, okay. And if you're so concerned about the Africans or the people in India and other people's souls, then why don't you get saved? Why don't you have God's life living in you so that you can go out and preach the gospel to them? If you don't, well, then that shows that you don't have any concern for them. You just like to condemn other people that are really doing it. If you really are concerned about people's souls, that means that you're a merciful person. You'll have God's life living in you, and you'll go out like I do and other people like myself, and you'll start winning those souls. This is sowing mercy. That's what the Bible calls giving mercy to other people. And the Bible says if you don't give any mercy, you're not going to receive any at the judgment bar of God. So if I were you, and I'd get busy doling out the mercy of God, which is the word of God. Oh, yes, and we feed, clothe, and house people as well. We also buy them toothbrushes. Have you ever even bought a toothbrush for anybody in your life? We buy hundreds of them. Toothpaste, we pay for their doctor bills that are saved. We provide housing for them and all sorts of things. Glasses, some of them come to us toothless. We get teeth for them. Have you ever bought one tooth for anybody? And you're a good person, huh? Have you ever preached the gospel to anybody? That means that God's life is not living in you. Have you ever written a piece of literature that talks about the Lord? Or have you ever done a radio broadcast that would encourage people to be saved so that their souls will not burn in hell? Well, if you haven't, well, then what good are you? You are like, the Lord says, chaff. Well, you'll say, not everybody's been called to preach or teach or do that. No, but you could come to the church and distribute literature on the streets. We have many people that are not able to preach or teach, but they sure know how to distribute literature. Well, I don't have any legs. I'm in a wheelchair. Okay, well, get in a wheelchair and we'll wheel you down the street and you can pass out literature, all right? You could do something, amen?
Amen.
And not only that, if you can't do that because you don't have any arms, you could be a prayer warrior, amen?
Amen.
Because if you pray to God, God says, if you're right with the Lord, he says, you pray to me and whatever you ask according to the gospel, it'll be answered. You could be praying that all these terrorists will stop and that the United States will stop antagonizing all the people of the world for the Vatican. That's what it is the Vatican has recruited our armed forces to irritate, to antagonize all these third world countries, and now they have not enough money to retaliate in a war effort against us, so they've sent their people in to try to protect themselves. They want to blow up different buildings and things. They're the only way they know how to fight back, and it makes them feel good because we've terrorized them, and it makes them feel good to have terrorized us. I mean, what would you do if somebody come into your country, into the United States, and just started blowing up you didn't do anything wrong at all, you didn't have any weapons of mass destruction, and all of a sudden these bombs start falling down on you and your little children and your grandmothers and grandfathers, your wives, your husband? Wouldn't you be angry too? Come on, get your head screwed on right. Something's wrong, terribly wrong with this Vatican, which is Bush says that he will do anything they tell him to. Why are our troops, we're supposed to be an independent nation, sovereign nation, a nation under God, why is this nation trying to take God out of it? Don't you know that any nation that gets away from God, that forgets God, God will destroy it. Why do you want to be destroyed? Why are you acting so stupid? You think you're patriotic to follow Satan? Listen, I loved the American government the way it was before. But I certainly, now that Satan is infiltrated in here and the Vatican is using it, and we've got these presidents that say they'll do anything this maniac in Rome says to do, do you think that I'm going to be patriotic to that cause? Send me back to Israel someplace so I can live the life of Christ, the life of the living God there, and I can die for the life of God over there. Because I know the minute that the breath goes out of my body, my soul, my eternal, everlasting soul is going to be in the kingdom of heaven. I mean, why don't you put yourself in those other people's places? Why don't you do that? Noriega, even. If this guy was wrong, I mean, this regime says he paints born-again Christians as being evil. He stated that they were going to burn up the people at Waco, and they did. And they went and killed all the people over at Jonestown. I don't know Jonestown's, I don't know their doctrine, but I know people came from there and they said they're born-again Christians and they would have never committed suicide. But the media has made you believe that, and you're guilty because you believed what the media said about them and Koresh. And you believed what they said about me. And they are listening to liars instead of the Lord. And so you're guilty. You are guilty by associating yourself with them instead of the people of the Lord. You like to receive gossip, false things about true Christians. You just love it. That's why these smut papers sell so well at the supermarkets. You love to hear all sorts of different false things. A friend of mine, Larry Hagman, who played the lead role in Dallas, told me that the magazine stated that he nail little birds to trees, and he says, I hate them. He said, because I've never done anything like that. I love little birds, and I love animals and everything. And he says, I sued them, and I said, did you get any money out of it? And he says, yeah, I got them for $500,000. But they made me look like an evil person. I says, well, they haven't done anything to half to you what they've done to all this us Christians in the world. The news media is the most evil, wicked bunch of devils, and the Vatican and this government. Just look at what this government is doing, taking God away like they have got more unmitigated gall. Don't you know what God's going to do to them and you if you follow them? Don't follow them. Be like this little lady on the ice cream truck and start getting this message out to the world. Stand up for Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
Stand up for the living God. What's the matter with you idiots? All right, so let's finish this letter.
This is the next letter.
Oh, the next letter. All right, where's this one from?
From Uganda, Africa. Dear Pastor Lamo, greetings in the holy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I came to know you through Pastor Stephen. I would like to appreciate you for having accepted to be used by God in the way you are able to reach many people every day and night with your testimony and the truth, who is Jesus Christ, our Lord, whom you preach. Your literature has blessed my life and the life of many Christians here. By reading them, we are filled with the Holy Spirit. I would like to congratulate you for the excellent explanation of the revelation of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. Therefore, through this letter, I would like to request some more books, literature, and the Bible. I want to take the gospel of Christ to the world, and I'm ready to distribute the true word of God that sets man free. I am looking forward to hearing from you very soon. I will be very grateful if my application is put under your consideration. Yours in Christ, Pastor Augustine, from the Pentecostal Theological College in Mobal, Uganda, Africa.
Praise the Lord. Oh, see, it's so wonderful to hear from people like this. That makes me know that we're not alone, brothers and sisters, here at this church. We have hundreds of thousands of people in our church. There are little groups, though, here and there all over the world, that you don't see 1 million people gathering for us. Anytime I see that, I realize that they have to be secretly Catholic, like Benny Hinn and Bonnke and people like that. They are definitely associated with the Vatican. and your other different places. You know, they even come out with Catholic collars and everything. If they're not ashamed of Catholicism, why do they pose as Protestants? Huh? That really is sick. They don't believe the gospel. They don't believe that God sees everything and knows everything that they're thinking and what they're doing and what they're premeditating to do. No, I always pray before the messages, you know, that God will say what he wants through me. And that's what you want to get so mature in the Lord that you're able to let God do that with you. Because people are so self-willed that God just can't get a hold of their tongue. And sometimes it really surprises me the things that the Lord says through my mouth, you know. It's just, I say, oh, isn't that a little... No, the Lord calls people pigs and dogs, especially people that were Christians and have fallen away from him. He says they're like dogs. They go back to their vomit, and like sows, pigs, swine that go back to the wallowing in the mire. Well, you know, swines and dogs are like a vile in the eyes of the living God, because he uses them to show how what abominations people are. He calls the Gentiles, the unbelievers, dogs, and because they're going to hell, they're like chaff. He calls them chaff. He also calls them goats, and the religious leaders that are preaching against the gospel, he calls them snakes, vipers, hypocrites. The Lord is a name caller, and when he does it through me, though, you know, I've always been a pretty meek type person, mild, you know, but I'm meek before the Lord now, and I just, if that's what he wants to say it, Lord, you know, let him have it. He calls people a bunch of idiots. I'll say it, okay? Mm-hmm. What about you? Are you too afraid to stand up and be counted for in the army of the Lord? Well, praise the Lord. Okay, go ahead. Let's start reading how to have God's life living in you, because it's the most important thing in the world. There's no other way that you're going to be saved, no other way you're going to escape hell, unless you have God's life living in you. So you better listen. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, let's go.
Some of the other symbolic references to Jesus being the tree of life that we must eat in haste and drink for our eternal life are the manna, other burnt offerings.
Okay, so God, Jesus is the manna of God, the bread of life that has come down here. Read that again.
Some of the other symbolic references to Jesus being the tree of life.
Okay, the tree of life is the word of God. Now, if you want it in you, all you have to do is read. Some people are searching for the tree of life. Ponce de Leon, I just heard somebody talk about him. I brought a message on Ponce de Leon looking for the fountain of life, the tree of life. Well, the tree of life is Jesus. He also is the fountain of life. God, Jesus is God. So if you want God's life living in you, the tree of life, the life of God, is very available. It's very near you. All you do is pick up your Bible and start reading it, and you'll start feeling God's life, if you really want eternal life, living in you. And when that life enters into you, your body will start decaying with every day, because we're just made out of the dirt of the ground. And some people say, ew, look at how old that person looks. But if the person is born again of the Spirit, if they have God's life living in them, their spirit is being renewed daily while their body is deteriorating around them. And the reason God allows the body to deteriorate around us is because of the sin of Adam and Eve. He stated that we'd all have to die now. And eventually you and I are going to die. And the spirit, our spirit, is going to leave us. If we have God's spirit mingled with our spirit, the spirit of God mingled with our spirit is going to leave us, and we're going to spend eternity in heaven. And we're going to look like we're about 16 or 17 years old for the rest of eternity, But even when we were 16 or 17 years old, we were never as good looking and beautiful then as we are in the kingdom of heaven. I always was, I've heard people say, we're good looking child, good looking boy or good looking girls and things like that. But you ought to see, God showed me a vision of myself in heaven, and then also a vision of my now deceased wife, Susie. And I've never seen anything so beautiful. I mean, even if I have to say so myself, I look more handsome than any motion picture star that I've ever seen in my entire life. I just wanted to keep looking at myself for eternity. I would have never gotten bored. The arch of my eyebrow, my eyelid, my nose, my hair on my head was like silver. It was like a very beautiful silver, and my skin was gold, and my eyes were sharp. I have bad eyes, but there was a glint that came out of them to showing me that my eyes were going to be perfect. My body was perfect. I never looked so good in my entire life, and I wasn't a bad-looking guy, in my life, but this put me down real bad. Silver hair and gold face, that looks so good. And I saw Susie, and I'm sorry. God was showing me both, and I've got tunnel vision. And He showed me, and then I didn't want to get my eyes off of me, but I wanted to look at Sue, so I looked at her, and then I didn't want to get my eyes off of her, and it was really hurting me inside because I wanted to get back and see myself. But I was so hung up at looking at her. What? This hair. See, all of her hair left her when she was, she was taking chemotherapy. And the Lord showed me her hair was clear down to her waist, and it was thick and lush. And there was bangs on her hair in the front of her forehead. And then it was sweeping on each side of her ear, sweeping up. And then there was like a beehive on the top of her head, and a little crown around the bottom of that beehive. It was a little gold crown that went around there. And she turned, when she'd turn her hair, both of us would move. We were like animated cartoons. It was like you see animation in a cartoon or something. And it was like unbelievable. And when she turned her hair, I could see that there were diamonds in her hair here and there, and they just glint out from her hair. And her body, little shoulders, so feminine and beautiful, and her skin was gold also, and blonde hair, and her eyebrows. I could have spent eternity just looking at her eyes and her eyebrows. It looked like dove's eyes. And she looked young and beautiful and gorgeous. I mean, it was like something. And I've seen pictures of Sue when she was young, and these put her down so bad, the way she looks in heaven now. And I just can't wait to get there. And I saw the Lord, and you've never seen anyone as handsome as Him. There's never been a picture that was painted of the Lord. It looks like He doesn't have long, stringy blonde hair. He doesn't have long, stringy brown hair. He doesn't have stringy hair at all. It's like kind of bushy, and it's black, and his eyes are black, and he looks, he's the most absolutely handsome person I've ever seen in my life. And he was sitting on this throne in a mirror. And the throne was not what I expected, like you see the Pope sitting in some thing that goes about 10 feet or 20 feet above his head. It was just above his shoulders, and it was purple, and it was gold. And I thought I'd be scared to death if I ever saw the Lord. And when I saw Him, I just said, Lord! I thought He was taking me right then, and I was so happy. And I wasn't at all afraid, because He looked at me, and I could tell, I've known Him all my life, and He's known me all my life. It was like the most beautiful thing, because He knew all about me, and He liked me. And that was the most comforting thing, too. And I just thought, I would surely hate to see him frowning at me or be angry at me. And he loved me, and I loved him, and I wanted to be there, and he said, not yet. And, oh, God, that was the most disappointing moment in my entire life, because everything there is not made out of dirt like here. You're made out of dirt. I'm made out of dirt. The clothing we wear comes out of the dirt. The dirt is outside. The trees come out of the dirt. The leaves come out of the vegetables come out of the dirt. We eat stuff that comes out of the dirt. Gold and silver and rubies and diamonds and gold, everything comes out of the dirt. And everything here is dull, but everything in heaven is bright and beautiful and glorious. And look, at I can tell you that you want to have God's life living in you, because you just think you know a lot. You don't know anything until you know God. And you don't, no matter what you have here, you're not going to take it with you, whether you go to heaven or hell. You're not taking one penny with you. And you don't want pennies or anything, because in heaven the streets are made of gold. And see, gold is a put down there. The streets and gutters are made out of that. What would you want with anything there? We have everything there in happiness, no sickness, no disease, never growing old again. Never. Because the spirit never deteriorates. It's the same. And the more of God you get into you by reading the Word of God and by receiving it, the more youthful you get in your spirit, and the more powerful you get in your spirit. One of the things that sort of frightened me, when I looked at myself, I was walking very arrogantly. And I thought, oh my God, I don't want to be arrogant. And it was like, it isn't an arrogance, it's a knowledge that you have got it made. I was walking very powerful, and like I was a ruler or something. It was, you know that you did right. And you know that God has endorsed it by allowing you to be in heaven. And you know that nothing can get you out of heaven. And you know that you're never going to sin. You're never going to sin. And anyone that tells you that you can get into that wonderful place with any sin on your soul is a dirty, filthy, scummy liar. Don't you ever believe them. Don't you ever believe them, no matter how convincing they sound. The Lord says, believe me, the word of God, believe the word of God, and thou shalt be saved. He that believeth shall be saved. Amen?
Amen.
And he that doubts, and you want to believe some jerkwater that's on TV or something, you're damned, all right? Because anyone that you would believe over God is your God. And if you have any other God before you, you won't make it into heaven. So receive that and live. Receive that and live. Okay, then let's continue here.
Some of the other symbolic references to Jesus being the tree of life that we must eat in haste and drink for our eternal life.
Well, because we eat it in haste because you don't know if you're going to go out to meet God 10 minutes from now. So eat God. I mean, eat the Word of God. Eat the Spirit of God. Drink the Spirit of God, which is the Word. The words that I speak unto you, Jesus said, are spirit, and they are God's life. It's your life, your immortality, your youthfulness, your beauty forever. All right? And you're pain-free. There's no pain. There's happiness and joy. Oh, what a beautiful thing. You know, you could go to a walk out on the desert. I've done that with Sue, and oh, you smell that sweet desert air out there and see the morning, the sun coming up and everything, and you say, how could anything be better than this? Or you could be up in the mountains. I was raised in the mountains of Montana, and our church in Los Angeles is up in the mountains, you know, the high desert mountains. And you can walk, you know, to outside at night or during the day and say, how beautiful, you know. Oh, it's just that you could bottle this air up here. You know, if you could only bottle it, you could make a fortune. But this is nothing in comparison to heaven. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has it entered the heart of man, the beautiful things that the Lord has for those that love him and keep his commandments. Now, loving the Lord means that you just hunger and thirst for God. For the Lord is the only righteous one. And so only if the Lord is in you do you become his righteousness. If you think that you are his righteousness by sinning, like I've heard some of these false preachers and teachers, you are crazy, all right? Well, that isn't right, a minister calling people crazy. Yes, it is, okay? I have to argue with you. If you think that God's word is wrong and that you're right, you're crazy, okay? And the Bible says we are not only crazy, but we're dead in our sins and trespasses until we begin having God's life living in us. So Jesus is the tree of life. We must eat. The Bible is the tree of life. The Bible, Jesus, God, is the bread of life. Jesus is that bread that came down to tell us, to feed us his word. The word of God is the bread of life, or the tree of life, or the fruit from the tree of life. Then what?
Some of the other symbolic references to Jesus being the tree of life that we must eat in haste and drink for our eternal life are the manna, other burnt offerings, the hidden manna, the bread of life, the flesh and blood of Jesus.
Yeah, which is the bread of life. When Jesus told his disciples, if you... anyone that will not eat my flesh and drink my blood cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Well, a lot of people left him then, a whole bunch of other disciples, and they walked with him no more. That scripture is in John 6, chapter 6, verse 66. That's ironic. That is the mark of the beast, 666. If you have known the Lord and then something that he says or has done offends you, to the point to where you don't walk with him anymore, you have become an antichrist. You are part of the corporate body of antichrist. And it won't do you any good in eternity. All you're going to do is burn and scream your head off. And the problem is your head won't come off, but you're just going to yell until your throat is so sore. And you're going to be casting yourself against the sides of the pit. You know, we had a woman in the church say she saw that, and the people were all, millions, billions of them down there just crying. And she said their voices sounded like dogs. They were going, mercy, mercy. But they had no mercy on anybody else in the world. They didn't receive the gospel or try to convince other people to go to heaven and stay out of hell. And so here they are just constantly throughout eternity crying, mercy, growling like dogs, mercy. And there is none for them, because those, if you plant a radish seed, up is going to come a radish. If you plant no mercy, you have nothing to grow up. You don't have anything coming back to you. You don't have any mercy that you deserve. You didn't plant anything. I've seen people. My grandfather never planted anything out in his backyard, and his family almost starved to death because he was a drunk. He liked to drink beer, and in a little town called Windham, Montana. And he'd go over to this little pub over there and just spend whatever money he had and chew Copenhagen tobacco and drink beer. Well, that didn't do. He had 10 kids, and that didn't do them any good at all. And so, you know, the Lord wants you to use what you have, and he wants you to support your wife and children. And if you don't, you're worse than an infidel. And an infidel goes to hell and the lake of fire. And what could be, where would you go if you were worse than an infidel? You go to the lowest parts of the bowels of hell and into the hottest place in the lake of fire. So, you know, you have to get up and work. And you have to get up and roll your sleeves up and start being a man. And you women, you have to keep yourself to your husband and quit and stop looking at other men and stop looking at the television all day long, because you're not getting any life of God in you by watching TV or reading these or sex magazines or watching these soap operas or anything. What good is that going to do you at the judgment bar of God? Put the top priority in your life, make it God, and so that you can get in, have God's life living in you, and so that you can stay out of hell and get into heaven. Then keep going.
The showbread, the lampstand, the light, the river.
Okay. In other words, she's continuing on telling you what is symbolic in the Bible of God's life, or the Word of God living in you, or God Himself living in you. Okay, and the lampstand, if you read the Old Testament, you don't know what that means if you haven't read the Old Testament, but there's the light lampstand, which was symbolic of God's life living in the temple, which we are now the temple of God. There is no man-made temple of God, so that's why the people that are expecting people to build a temple of God in Jerusalem for the Antichrist to sit in, that will not be the temple of God. There is no man-made temple of God. You're the temple of God. And if you don't allow God to live in you, well, then you're depriving God of a vessel, or you, a temple, a house, a mansion for God to live in. And if you deprive Him of that, then you're going to deprive yourself of going to heaven. You're going to spend eternity in hell. And this is well-deserving, because if you only could visualize how horrible hell is, and the lake of fire, and the torture that's there, then maybe you'd start getting busy and start receiving the Word of God and trying to explain these things to people. I've also seen this, the glimmer of the flames of hell. I saw this dark fireplace. It was like made of dark bricks, real dark, deep purple, and seemed like some of them were black. And it was like there was an entryway right on the other side of me and back of me of hell. And I could feel the force of the flames there, and I could see the flicker of them on this fireplace. And I could hear people moaning and groaning, and with a futile moan and groan, they were saying, "Oh no, oh God, not me. We're here, and it is real. Oh, how could we have been so foolish to not have believed the Bible? Why could we not have believed people that were preaching the Bible? Now we're here forever. Oh God, no mercy, mercy, oh mercy." We're here now. And then we go down the highway here in life, and all of a sudden we see some woman crashing through a window, a head-on collision, and her eyes are wide open as though she's seeing hell. And she's stuck inside, halfway out the window and halfway in the car. And her eyes are wide open, just like a couple of banjos. And she's just looking banjo-eyed out into eternity. She's dead, and freshly dead. And it's like her mouth is open in a grimace on her face, and her eyes are wide open because she's not looking at anything in the fields. She's looking right out into hell where her soul is just going. Okay, keep going.
The river of life. The stream of life.
Jesus is the river of life. He's the stream of life. And you can have His the river of life flowing through you, the fountain of life, the stream of life bubbling up in you. That's God's life living in you. That's what that all means. Then what?
And the fountain of life.
Yeah, He is the fountain of life. What do you think of all these words that I'm telling you? The Lord has put place. He's in there, in me. And He's outwardly anointing and bringing these buckets full of the fountain of life, so that you can hear and taste of it for a while, and then decide whether you want to receive the life of God, God's life in you. This is how you do it. Okay, then what? And you have to start out by crying out to God for prayer. In prayer, to have His life begin living in you. And I see our time is up, so what we'll do is we'll go through that prayer right now. And so all you just say to God right now, say the prayer, say, and I'll tell you what to say. Say this to God: "My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's the Holy Spirit that he wants to live in you right now. I open up the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me on the cross at Calvary. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know, because your word says so. Your word says you'll turn no one away. For all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Therefore, I know I am calling on you, and I know you hear me, and I know you're answering me. I've known you've answered me. And therefore, I know I'm saved. And therefore, I raise my hands up to you, Jesus, and I thank and praise your holy name for saving my soul. And I know because of your word that your spirit is now living in me, and now it's up to me to read your word, which is your life, your spirit, the bread, the manna, the lampstand, the fountain of life, the river of life, the streams of life. I'm going to read your word so those streams will continuously go through me, because all those that continue to the end in your name are saved. Praise the Lord. Just now raise your hands and just praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. All right, praise the Lord. Now, we're going to continue on with part 5 of how to have God's life living in you tomorrow. And you can have this tape here, just order it. It's program number 105, and it's free of charge, and you can get it by calling this phone number.
479-782-7370.
Or you could email us at
alamoministries.com.
Or you could write us at
P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505.
Praise the Lord. Until tomorrow, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying, God bless you real good, and praise the Lord. Amen.